Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wessex Safety Hour conference call hosted by Ben. My name is Richard, and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you do require any assistance, please press star then zero on your telephone, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties this conference call is being recorded for replay purposes. I'd now like to hand over to Ben. Please go ahead, Ben.
Afternoon, everyone. My name is Ben Rudkin. I'm the Ops Manager for Wessex, and I'm presenting this week's Safety Hour. I've had an item from CAFM DU, which they wanted raised this week around the VTS trial, which is the vehicle behavioural monitoring systems, which they've fitted, so I'll come to that at the end. What I will do then is just run through some incidents from last week and just sort of some of the other numbers, what we normally go through. So attendance last week for safety conversations around Wessex was 79%. So, 79% of the route covered by safety conversations, which is good. It's been a good level since the new year. So that's definitely a positive for the route. We had 84 close calls raised this week, which isn't quite at the target that Wessex is looking for, and although it's not a target thing, it's good to know that we are doing a lot better than we have been, as we only had 35 last week. Percentage of close calls, which are within 90, closed out in 90 days, is 79%, which again sort of shows all the good work people are doing in tackling the close calls once they've been raised. So, moving on to incidents from last week then, and apologies if one or two of these were raised on the Tuesday conference. I know one would have been quite fresh, which was a near miss, which was in the Epsom area. And this was an asset inspector from Wimbledon Track who'd been working doing inspections, sort of in the Epsom station area. He did have a safe system work pack for a number of the inspection activities, but while he was working and, while he was waiting for his lookout to arrive, as he would have he turned up early. He realised there was a an additional inspection that he needed to get done, which wasn't far from where he was working. So he headed down there to do that as an IWA. Unfortunately, he didn't have a safe system work pack. And as he was going down to the location, we ended up having a near miss with 2 Delta 2.7. Once the driver had seen him, he flew the horn, the person acknowledged, and the asset inspector sort of moved to a position of safety, but not with the normal amount of time that you would expect to have. So lessons learned from this, and this was kind of from the IMDM inner team, was around making sure that you've got your safe system work pack for the work that you're doing. If you've got a lookout which has been allocated, then you can't downgrade that without getting permission from the responsible manager and kind of having that safety check conversation. And also that a position of safety for tracking that area would be at least 1.25 metres from the nearest line. So that's that incident. So some lessons learned there. Other incidents we had in the last kind of 7 days with a staff accident at Farnborough on the 19th, and this was a member of works delivery team who were working with the mobile maintenance train. Felt his ankle gave way as he was stepping onto the ballast from I believe within the train. The member of staff fell over, but thankfully didn't sustain any injuries. He had a pre-existing injury, but all correct PPE was being worn, so looks like that hopefully prevented any further injury occurring. Other incidents we had was a staff accident at Wimbledon. So this was a welder loading equipment onto a van. A generator slipped and fell onto his middle finger. It's obviously quite an unpleasant incident for the individual. There's sort of no lost time, but I think the point of that one's definitely just to take extra care. Especially when loading potentially heavy equipment and stacking equipment, just to make sure it's secured properly and you don't put yourself in a position where you can become easily hurt. There was an incident on the 20th. This was a member of off-track that got sprayed with effluent when a Great Western train passed them. So obviously we know some of the Great Western trains aren't fitted with toilet retention tanks. And, you know, certainly as someone who formerly worked on the Western, and anyone else who's has been over there will know that it's obviously quite an unpleasant incident to occur. Staff member finished their shift and went home to clean up, and later that day he had a hepatitis jab, which is, you know, generally the recommended thing from that. In terms of incidents where, you know, you come into contact with effluent. So ORR did an effluent position paper in 2016, this is in February, because we're the sort of industry that needs a position paper on effluent. But, you know, it's the right thing to do. And it was just really, in there was just contained a bit which said that, you know, while there's a lot of hazards from, you know, from effluents, which is sort of bacteria and protozoa and viruses, such as hepatitis, so the person did the right thing, consulting a doctor and getting a jab. Sort of research by the London School of Hygiene has shown that although it's unpleasant, the transmission of infection from effluent on the track would require the ingestion of pathogens in a sufficient dose high enough to cause disease, which essentially means you'd have to ingest quite a bit of fecal matter. So certainly while the person did the right thing getting a hepatitis jab, you know, it's obviously nothing to, if it does happen, it's unpleasant, but don't worry yourself too much and get too stressed about it. Just you know, consult a doctor and make sure you progress that in the right way. Brilliant, that was a pleasant one. Glad I should have talked about that. Another one we had was a staff accident. This was a work delivery contractor who was transporting a 150-pound length of conductor rail with an Ironman. Once the guy was on site and they were lowering the conrail, it slipped from the ratchet and landed on his right foot, and, you know, obviously caused quite a lot of pain, which gradually got worse and worse, and he was eventually sort of taken away by accident. So confirmed injury there was a broken metatarsal, which is the injury which plagued England's golden generation at a number of World Cups, but also not a particularly pleasant one, I believe, with kind of an 8-week recovery time. So, wish all the best for that person, but again, it sort of highlights key lessons to learn when handling particularly heavy stuff and using heavy lifting equipment such as Ironman. Another sort of timely reminder again today, we're going through quite a cold snap, so, you know, with the ongoing cold weather, you know, I was talking earlier in team meeting about someone who slipped and broke their arm at ECDU, I think, a few weeks ago, so I know this one's already been covered, but just again, a timely reminder for everyone that, you know, it is cold outside, so just kind of be aware, you know, when you're travelling to and from work, driving, or, you know, around outside in the office, you know, just keep an eye out for ice and black ice and all those kind of other hazards. That might cause you to slip and hurt yourself, you know, slips, trips and falls being a major cause of injury on track, so certainly maybe not as big a risk, but definitely, you know, lots of opportunities to have a slip, trip and fall off the track as well, so definitely one for everyone to be aware of. Another safety bulletin came out this week, that was a near miss at Saxby, which is in Leicestershire on the East Midlands route. This one happened back in December. Essentially sort of the high level overview of it was work group were working on the main lines near Saxby, and this was sort of infrequently being given up to allow the passage of freight trains, so they gave the block up on the down line to let a train pass, and went to their agreed position of safety, which was fine. However, a Cango pack which was being used for the work was left on a high ballast shoulder in the 6-foot, and the vibrations of the approaching train caused the tool to roll down the shoulder of that, so to speak, and into contact with the 6-foot rail of the main line. The safe work leader then noticed, so over there they're using safe work leader at the moment, it would be a cost, noticed the Cango, fouled the line, and sort of shouted over to one of the party to grab the Cango packer from the 6-foot. As the trackman stepped out, grabbed the Cango and brought it back into the position of safety, a passenger train approached, and the trackman then stepped off the track, but you know, train passed him within 2 seconds of him reaching the position of safety, which again is obviously way outside the 10-second threshold. So just a couple of discussion points from that, you know, about making sure you're aware of the minimum amount of time you're supposed to be in a position of safety, how far from the running line you should keep all your tools and equipment, how you'd react if somebody asked you to go onto the track in a potentially dangerous situation, or you know, you saw somebody ask somebody else, and you know, what non-technical skills should, you know, leaders and bosses consider, you know, in order to prevent that sort of incident happening again. So that was just some lessons learned from our East Midlands colleagues. Okay, so the only kind of bit other than these that I've got for today was just to run through a review of the trial fitment of the vehicle, VTS, vehicle track. I believe that means vehicle tracking system. It might mean vehicle telematics system, but broadly means the same thing. So for those of you that aren't aware of it, the why. So why are we implementing it? It's because Network Rail have understood that driving's one of our biggest workforce risks. In fact, it is our biggest workforce risk. Between 800 and 1,000 people are killed annually in work-related road traffic accidents. You know, not just on Network Rail, but you know, around you know, all industries around the country. At Network Rail, we've got about 8,000 vehicles, and you know, between them all, we drive about 128 million miles a year. So I don't know how many times around the world that is, but it's a fair few. Since we've brought in the life-saving rules, we've had 306 NR employees injured, and that's in 242 separate accidents. And we've worked out that, you know, more than 85%, so more than four-fifths of these have occurred in sort of 30, 40, 50 mile an hour zones. So Network Rail have looked at what they need to do to stop, you know, what can we do to kind of stop this happening. So the what of the system then, you know, the Trafalog UK is a company that's contracted to provide a driver data terminal, which looks a lot like a sat-nav, and you know, it's got a mapping system on there, and it's got some visuals around speeding, and also there's a vehicle check application on it, which, you know, means you can do your roadside checks and your vehicle checks, you know, as you normally would do on the form. You know, it's had, you know, broadly the tool then just, you know, it says, Matt, you've got your own unique driver or log on ID, and it'll broadly just kind of match people's behaviours and, you know, whether or not they're whether or not they're speeding, and whether or not, you know, they're driving erratically. So the driver ID is something that's unique to each individual, and, you know, it's a monitoring system, not in terms of, I mean, the spirit of the system isn't to, you know, for everyone else to know what people are doing. It's more that you're aware of your own driving behaviour in the car. You know, it'll beep at you if you're going too fast or, you know, consistently and things like that, and kind of, I think it lets you know afterwards, you know, how you were driving, so to speak. Feedback from the trial, so they fitted 40 vehicles in Wessex. I think most of these were the ECDU area. You know, feedback from people who were involved in the trial, you know, so the training was provided, but, you know, it was thought that could be a bit more robust, which has been developed further. You know, there were some minor issues with where the screen was positioned and different things like that, which have been resolved by the engineers, so it's good, says they responded quickly to that. And the, you know, the drivers who were part of the trial, obviously, you know, the agreement is that it wasn't to try and catch them out or you know, discipline people or as something to do that. It was so that we could get the information so we could understand the size of the problem, I believe. So of the 40 vehicles fitted, you know, 28 of them had a speeding event of some sort. One vehicle had 39 speeding events recorded across 10 working days. You know, luckily during the pilot, I say luckily, that's the wrong word, fortuitously during the pilot, you know, there was no breaches of the 20 mile an hour plus, which is good, shows that, you know, but there were, you know, however, 107 times where the vehicle was recorded to be going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. So definitely one to, you know, just one for people to be aware of and, you know, kind of be aware of your speed while driving. So, you know, initial feedback, you know, there was generally some positive comments on that, you know, it's clear to read, easy to use, and the display is large. You know, a few comments saying it was too large and too bright, which, you know, they've done some work to make sure that it dims correctly at night time and, you know, doesn't prevent a distraction, because obviously that's not the objective of it. There's a couple of complaints that it beeps too much, but that had to be weighed up against that when it beeps, it means that people are going over the speed limit. So I suppose there was probably two different solutions to that one. And then there were some lessons learned around the fitment of the tracker, which was interesting. So that's the kind of data from the trial which will help them get it right when they roll it out this year. There's plans to have it fitted on 90% of your vehicles by 31st of March 2017. So that's a couple of months away. It's key to remember that drivers are responsible for operating the vehicle and compliance with speed limits and all the other driving legislation, but also that people's personal data is secure in line with data protection, and driver IDs and supporting documents will be issued to all drivers, and the driver ID is only something that's in the NRHRSS system, so it's the shared services system, so it's not something that managers can go in and access and check how far you've gone every day. It's very much stored in the central system. The spirit of the system and how it's designed is to help staff comply with the speed limit, obviously, and reduce road risk for the company. There's a big theory around if you're made aware of how you're driving, that's the kind of first and most positive step to improving, because driving is something that everyone does every day generally, I guess people can get quite, what's the word, I guess the behaviours get quite ingrained in yourself. So it's good. This is kind of there to highlight to people what how they're driving and steps they can take to improve. So it's a bit of a whirlwind tour. I've kind of just rattled through everything in front of me. There's not anything else I really want to add. But Richard, I don't know if there's any questions on the items.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, your question and answer session will now begin. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone. Record your name followed by the hash key. If you decide to withdraw your question, simply press star then two. All questions will be answered in the order received, and I will advise you when you can ask your question. All other lines will remain on listen only. Just a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star one, record your name, followed by the hash key. We have no questions at this moment. If you'd like to ask a question, just to remind you, please press star one, record your name, followed by the hash key. We do have a question. The question comes from the line of...
Charlie Usher.
Please go ahead. You're live in the conference.
Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Ben. It's Charlie. Not so much questions. I just wanted to highlight a couple of the items that you went through. Covered quite a lot of ground. Thanks. That's been a useful call today. So the first one was the one that you mentioned about the near miss. Involving the Wimbledon staff. So, it's just really to highlight that although, people can be in a position to quickly pop out and do some productive work, and it may seem like the right thing to do, working on the live railway without a safe system of work is obviously something that we really can't tolerate because, you're putting yourself in a life and death situation if you choose to do that. So really want to emphasise to people that however much it seems like they could achieve some, some useful work in a short period of time by popping out to have a look at something. It's just something that we really can't go along with at all. So just one to think about there. And the other one was the incident with the Ironman and the rail falling on the member of staff's foot. And this is by no means the first incident we've had with Ironmen. A broken metatarsal is quite a serious injury, and obviously that could have been even worse with a 150-pound conductor rail. That's an extremely heavy rail, and that coming onto your foot, you could have a life-changing injury from that. So, it's just to emphasise the need, A, to use Ironmen in the way that you've been trained to, and to follow the instructions of the person in charge of the work, and obviously to keep yourself clear of the area beneath the the Ironman use the appropriate equipment such as the bar that goes underneath that can potentially avoid some of these incidents. So just want to really emphasise there, because potentially a very serious incident, and like I say, one that unfortunately is by no means the first incident that we've ever had involving that equipment. Well, that's it for me, Ben.
Cool, nice one. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. We do have another question, however, we do not have the caller's name. Caller, can you just check that your line is not on mute? You're live in the conference.
Would that be me, by any chance?
You're live in the call, sir.
Typical. Morning, Ben. Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
Somewhere in the back of my mind, in terms of the vehicle tracking systems, do the ops LOM side of the world, MOM side of the world, have something similar already?
Hi Tracy, yeah, no, on the MOM side of the world, it's the same system that's being fitted, but it's going to operate slightly differently specifically for MOMs. So whereas on the mainland side there was no benefit, I suppose, and ignoring the obvious difficulties with national consultation over the tracking of vehicles and where they are. On the MOM side of the world, obviously it was identified that for responding to incidents, it's important to know where vehicles are. So in a kind of but otherwise the system's the same. It monitors the same behaviours as the VTS one, because it is the same system. It's just a couple of bits added on, so to speak, for MOMs. But it's not fitted yet. It's in the process of, and I think they'll come slightly sooner. But it'll kind of be in the next couple of weeks.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I was just clarifying that. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's a lot of benefits to that, even from a safety perspective for the MOM, I can understand the challenges the maintenance side of the world and other departments have, and, some of the mistrust between unions, but I think there's a lot to be said for having trackers on vehicles, and you can find out where they are just from my personal perspective, because, especially for lone workers, I've never thought Network Rail does the best job it could, to monitor lone workers and the risk that we have around that. And I think knowing where a vehicle is in the event that somebody went missing would help you locate them quicker. But that's just my personal views, and I'm hoping eventually at some point that grown-up conversation will happen, and the whole business will be in a position to have that sort of functionality. But at the moment, that's just us.
No, I agree, and I have to say, if I could have trackers on all the kids' vehicles, I'd be very happy as well. Because it is not unusual to lose a vehicle and an individual in a ditch and find them for 8 hours later. I think that happened a couple of years ago with somebody. Thank you.
Thanks. Cool. I mean, I suppose Tracy, I don't know, for you and Ivan or whoever, the one to pick up might be civil. I mean, when we negotiated that, we did that locally with our reps, so I don't know if that's a similar opportunity for maintenance. It might be a bit further off, but it was something that we, when the National said to us that's what the process was going to be, we were of the opinion that we could do something better. So, just one for the radar, if any particularly brave maintenance managers fancy taking it on. I think there's a lot of benefits to it, I think, including even when you talk about incident response, and I've mentioned that I think it was 129 million miles driven a year. I suppose your biggest risk is from when you're in a vehicle is when you're driving, and if you're sending the closest people to an incident, you're reducing the amount of miles that everyone travels. So I think there's a benefit there as well. But no, that's not a company view. That's just my. Cool. All right, Richard. Anyone else?
We have no further questions, Ben. If you'd like to ask a question, just a reminder, please press star 1, record your name, followed by the hash key. We have no further questions, Ben.
All right, no problem. I guess it's been quite a disrupted day with the unfortunate incident earlier at Woking, so obviously just a timely reminder to everyone that incidents like that we do get quite frequently on the railway, unfortunately, and that if anyone feels affected by that, then talk to your line manager, or you can call Network Rail's chain of care provider, Validium, of which I don't have the number in front of me. However, it's available quite widely around the business on notice boards and on Connect. I hope you've all got something out of the call at least, and you know, have a safe and pleasant day and rest of the week, and I hope same time next week. Brilliant. Thanks.
Thanks, Ben. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and have a very good day.